Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to continue with our series that we have been sharing on the gates of Jerusalem. And as we look at these gates, we're discovering that as Nehemiah went to Jerusalem and began to inspect the walls and find out that there was destruction and the state of the city in person, he also established teams and groups to rebuild these walls. So in a quick recap, we see that the walls had already begun. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "At last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm." May God give us enthusiasm for the work of the Lord. May God give us an enthusiasm and an excitement and a passion for the things of God, because with that, amazing things can be accomplished in a shorter period of time than you can imagine. Now, we've seen the symbolism behind the gates so far. We've looked at the first four gates to this point. And these gates speak to us in particular on experiences that every believer on the path to maturity must walk through, must experience. And I believe that there is a sequence, there is an order to these gates that should not be bypassed, that cannot be bypassed in many cases. And the very first gate that we looked at is the sheep gate, and that is Jesus. You cannot have any of these experiences unless you have come to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Unless you have come to Jesus, unless you are born again, you will not, cannot see the kingdom of God. It is the way in. It is the first gate. It is a necessary experience. Jesus said, "You must be born again." And then we go on there from the sheep gate to the fish gate, and that is the gate where Jesus speaks to us. As soon as we are born again, as soon as we are saved, he wants to, and he makes us to be fishers of men. We do not wait for 4, 5, 6, 7 gates down the road for multiple experiences to say, "Okay, now I'm ready to be a soul winner. Now I'm ready to be a fisher of men because I've had all these experiences." No, it is the very first thing that a believer should do. And it is not something that we should quit and say, "Well, you know, I am now so far from my initial experience of salvation that I no longer need to be a disciple maker." We are meant to be disciple makers all the way. The fish gate speaks to us that the old gate was the third gate, and this said that we needed to deal with the old man. The one thing that you will know that when you first save, there will be this amazing experience that will happen over your life. You will feel light, you will enjoy the presence of God, and you will experience the goodness of God like you've never experienced before, and you'll begin to witness. But along the way, you will soon discover that not everything of the old man was left behind. You have dragged some of him with you, and it will be a need, a necessary step, a daily step. It's not something that happens once, but it's something that happens consistently, is that we put self aside and we put God first. We lay down the old man so that the new man might live through and in us. The old gate said it was death to self, to the flesh. And the one thing that's interesting about the old gate is that when you pass and you walk in through the old gate, you walk directly into the new quarter of the New Jerusalem. So the death of the old man leads to the new life that we have in Christ, leads to the growth and experience that we need to have in Christ. And all these experiences, it is the Holy Spirit that is leading us from gate to gate, from experience to experience, so that we might grow and mature in God. Last week we looked at the valley gate. The valley gate, it reminds us of the dark, shadowy times of our lives that we must go through and that we will go through. And we every one of us have experienced those times. They have not been alike. They have been different. They may have been similar. But the thing is that we've all had to walk through them. And there's a choice when you're faced by a difficult circumstance and a trouble. And that choice is, will I go through it alone? Or will I go through it with God? David says that even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, you go with me. Never go it alone. The enemy would want us to shake our fists at God when trouble comes and trouble surrounds us. You don't have to shake your fist to heaven. You just have to look to your side because He is beside you and with you in your trouble. And do you know that everything, all the hard things, the difficult experiences that we've had, they did not come from God. But because they came, God has worked and He's said He will work them out for the good of those who love Him. Today we're going to look at a very exciting, very interesting gate, the Dung Gate. I knew you would be so excited about this. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 13 through 14, it tells us just briefly of what activities happened around this gate. Actually, verse 14, not verse 13. The Dung Gate was repaired by Malchiah, son of Rechab, the leader of Beth Hakkerem, of the Beth Hakkerem district. He rebuilt it, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and bars. Just like every gate in the city of Jerusalem, it had bolts and bars that could open it after it was secured, or could secure it after it was open. It was a secure place. Now, the Dung Gate was located in the southern part of the wall, and as its name kind of indicates, it was a place where the rubbish, the garbage of the city would be taken out. It was the place that where that which would contaminate, that which would bring disease to the city, that which would cause there to be sickness, disease, death, and stench in the city would be carried out through that gate to the city garbage dump. Now, it is necessary for us to know then that in the days of the old city of Jerusalem, they did not have sewage systems and indoor plumbing. And on top of all of that, there were animals who walked the streets and left mess behind. It was, the old world was a very difficult place to keep clean. You can go to Jerusalem, the old city, today, and you can walk those streets and the cobblestones and walk in those amazing streets that have been there for thousands of years. And you say, wow, isn't this amazing? But they are a lot cleaner today than they were back then, because the sanitation systems were not what they are today. But the city of Jerusalem was considered a holy city. And as a holy city, there should not be anything in it that defiled the city. And so there was created a dung gate, a portal, a place where that which would defile would be taken out and taken to a dump. Now, we understand the importance of garbage day. Where we live, we have a day of the week where the trash needs to go out. And I don't know how many of you have ever missed a day by accident. Something happened, you weren't at home in time, and so you didn't put out your garbage. And suddenly you find out 2 weeks of garbage doesn't fit in your garbage cans. And now you don't know what to do with it because it has become too much. There is a need to get rid of the garbage in the house. I don't know who has the job to empty the garbage cans in your home. But it's a terrible thing when they don't get emptied. When they begin to overflow, when there isn't room. And all that needs to happen is somebody needs to say, okay, the garbage can is full, let's get it out of here and deal with it. The dung gate was the smallest gate with the lowest archway. And it comes up and is also mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 6. You can write that down. And it's significant because Manasseh, who was king, also sacrificed his own sons in the fire in the valley of Beth Hinnom. And he practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and consulted with mediums and psychics. He did much that was evil in the Lord's sight. What? The valley of Hinnom was where this gate led to. The garbage patch, the garbage collection site of the old Jerusalem was in this valley. It was a horrible place. Stench, constant fire burning the trash. They threw out carcasses of animals and at times even people who did not have proper burial, they were cast into the garbage because this was the place where discarded things went. And I can see that the facial expressions saying, as you picture this nasty, horrible place, it was exactly that. But it was a place that was necessary to keep the city from being defiled. Now, I read you this scripture because I believe that what is necessary today, there are things that belong on the garbage heap. And Manasseh went to the garbage heap to sacrifice to his gods. He went to the garbage heap there to murder his sons, to appease his false god. And there is garbage in our lives that is not like the garbage simply that we gather in our homes. There is garbage, and the rise of witchcraft is something that is rampant in our day. And it's portrayed as fun and a game, and it's freedom and it's harmless. Listen, it is none of that. It doesn't matter how much the internet wants to portray it, how enlightened people want to tell you that it's okay. It doesn't matter that you can walk in bookstores and see it on the shelves and think it's okay. They have books for witchcraft, for adults, and for children. Not so long ago, I went to a store. In fact, it's Five Below. And you walk in there and you see how much there is that are children's books teaching them about tarots and witchcraft. These are dangerous things today. These are things that we should not allow in our homes and in our places. These are things that we should resist because these are the things that belong in the garbage heap. These are the things that belong in the trash. These are not the things that belong in the house of the Lord, in the house of God's people. These are not things that belong in the city of God. They are evil in God's sight. And the New Testament didn't change that. They are evil in God's sight, and it does still arouse his anger. And today we want to stand up. We stand as pastors in this place. We stand as believers in this place. And we bind witchcraft in this church. We bind witchcraft over this place. Every word that was ever spoken, every word that was ever said, we bind it in the name of Jesus. We resist it in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus. We will not tolerate the effects of witchcraft in this house, in this place, in the name of Jesus. There is no power, authority, and of witchcraft that can have an effect on the believer. Amen. And today we can stand. We do not live in fear. We do not stand and say, oh God, what are we going to do? You know what we're going to do? We're going to declare the name of Jesus, a name above every name. We're going to plead the blood of Jesus, a blood that washes every sin away. And we're going to know that we can stand on the power and authority of Jesus, and we can drive out demons, because this is a day of cleansing. This is a day of cleansing of the city. This is a day of cleansing of the house of God. And so we break every hex. We break every chain. We break every bondage in the name of Jesus. We bind every demon, and we release the captives to the freedom that Jesus has come to set them free. You see, the city dump burned day and night, and it's illustrative of hell. There's fires constantly going, burning stench. There is no life. There is no hope. It's full of the discarded things. It's an eternal place where those people go who reject God. Because in their rejection of God, they choose. They choose hell. They choose suffering. They choose an eternity without God. Now, Jerusalem was a city where garbage was never meant to accumulate. And we are holy people. Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a holy people. We've been chosen by God. We have been filled by God's presence. We have been cleansed, and we have been born again with a price. We belong to God. We are a holy people. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Now, holy people produce garbage too. It is important to take out the trash regularly and continually and consistently in our lives. It's not something you can do just once. Right? You don't just do it once and say, you know, last year I took out the garbage. I think I'll do it next year again. Please. Just as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Take out the trash. Empty the trash. Take it to the heap where it belongs. There's a place where the trash of our lives goes. And it goes to the place that burns with fire. It's the place of trash. It's the place of garbage. It's the place of discarded things. And we do it through repentance and confession, because that clears the soul. We need to be cleansed from the sinfulness of the flesh, of the soul, of our spirit. We need to be cleansed of the things that attach themselves to us. In Africa growing up, we would run through the fields, and in the fields, I think in America you have your own kinds of things. They kind of, when you run through the tall grass, they stick to your pants. They're little stickers, and they are so hard to pluck off. I don't know what you call them. They nasty things, that's all. Right? And so you go through, you run through the grass, and when you get there, all these things are stuck to your clothes, and you got to remove them. Just by walking through life, things will attach themselves to you, and there's a necessary need. It's something that you have to do. You have to cleanse yourself of those things. Second Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, because we have these promises. Boy, do we have some great promises. You can go read about it. Dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, And let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. The same way that we benefit from trash collection services, we could benefit from knowing and using the spiritual dung gate that God has provided in our lives. Living produces garbage. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21 gives us a list of the works of the flesh. And there are many other lists. I don't want to take time to go through every single one of them. But Galatians chapter 5 is particularly a great chapter because it doesn't only tell you what are the things that the flesh produces, it actually tells you that which the Spirit produces if you read further on. These are things that we have to reject, we have to discard. These are the things that we have to put out of our lives. These are at least some of the things that are trash. Now, there are many. So if in reading this today you don't see anything that represents trash in your garbage can, it's there anyway. It's time to empty out the trash. When you follow these desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. You see, Paul knows that somebody's going to say, well, you didn't mention mine. So he wants to say, yes, it's there. You're not going to escape. Other things like these, and you know what they are. It doesn't have to be named. It doesn't have to be explained. You know it's there, and you know that it's time to put it out. Amen? Let me tell you again, he writes, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, God tells us that we have to take out the garbage. But every time I speak on lists like this and I discuss them with people, there is somebody says, well, Pastor, we don't live under the law. This is not living under the law. These statements, these things, you can make them legal statements if you want, but that's not living under the law. The law that the New Testament talks about is the law of Moses, not this. These are the laws of grace. These are the things that grace tells us, discard, get rid of, so that you can walk pure before the Lord. This is how to live in a broken world. Avoid the things that break people. Come on, look around us and you can see the effects of things that break people, that ruin lives, that destroy. You can look around and say, oh, yes, that person did this and this and this. But yet there's believers, there's Christians who want to do this, this, and this, and think that simply because they're believers, it will not touch them the same way. Do not be fooled. Do not simply say, oh, I'm immune from that. No, you're not. If you're walking by the flesh, you will produce the things of the flesh, and they will prevent you from entering and seeing and experiencing all that God has for you. Avoid the things that destroy. See, every departure from our design, what is our design? Our design is to live for God. Bring shame, heartache, damage relationships. Now it is good to forgive and to be forgiven, right? But you know what's better than that? It's to not need to be forgiven. Not need to forgive. In that case, that's at least better in human terms. What do you think? Is that truth you can take home today? It's amazing how much garbage, literal garbage, you can actually make. You go to the store and you fill a cart And you pack it out, and it fills three, maybe four bags of groceries. You bring them into the house. But you take out like 10 bags of trash. It's like, how did that even happen? I only brought in four bags, but I'm taking out 10. I don't know. Trash multiplies when it sees other trash. That's what happens in our lives. The amount of things that we can accumulate is astounding. And when we let them accumulate and build up in our lives and we do not bring them to the Lord, they cause trouble in our lives. If we're not diligent, the devil will cause our lives to stack up with a bunch of trash. And this is the hoarding that is the worst kind. I'm going to have us do something this morning. Today, I said to Pastor Jerry and the guest, today is a day of illustrations. So if you've been sitting here wondering, what are these little dishes? Yep, these are for us today. These are for us to get a little real. Anybody ready to be real with God today? No. I think I have to stay here because we all have to be real with God if this message is going to have any meaning today. If it's going to make any difference, it's going to challenge our lives, we have to say, yes, I am ready to get real with God. I wonder if I can have four volunteers quickly. What I need you to do is just take one of these little buckets and take it to every row. Take it to people, and all they have to do is take out one of those little packets of yellow sticky notes per row, and then each person gets to take at least one. You might need more, but one will do. If you don't have a pen, there are some pens in the back of the sanctuary because you're going to need a pen to write. Pen, pencil, marker, whatever you have, you're going to need to write on that. Now, while you're doing that, I'm going to grab something. So, I think we're going to take out the trash today. We're going to make use of the dung gate today. We're going to make use of the refuse gate. We're going to clean up the house in the presence of the Lord, before the Lord, and in the company of the saints. We're going to do this today. Now, the job of the Holy Spirit is not to shame you. It's not to expose you and expose you to someone else's ridicule and shame. That is not the intention today. The intention is that you will expose your heart willingly to the Lord and that you will allow Him to do the cleansing work in you. Amen? Yes. We're ready for this? So on that piece of paper, obviously here is the list of things that I broke up from Galatians chapter 5, 19 and 20. I put them on there today. That was a fun project. But I have a look at those things, and that, as I said, doesn't speak of everything, because there are those things that are not mentioned but exist in our hearts. There are attitudes that we have. There's unforgiveness. There's pain and suffering. And sometimes there might even be that you are walking in something and you're walking in a place where there's bondage. There's something that you cannot and have not been able to overcome by yourself. It is something that comes in and fills every day of your life with torment and trouble and difficulty. It comes and takes over, that you can do almost nothing else but think about, but experience about, but be weighed down by this thing. These are the things that God wants us to bring to Him. These are the things that belong in the trash can. So I want you to write on one of those pieces of sticky note. If you need more, there are more available. And nobody's going to look at you and say, well, you filled out 10, you must be terrible. It's the problem. It doesn't matter what we start with, it matters how we end. So if you need 100, write 100 today, because today you are going to be delivered from that thing that has held you tight, that has kept you captive, that has held you back. That trash that is accumulating your life, God wants to deliver you from it. He says, take out the trash, go through the dung gate, and leave it where it belongs. So write down on that piece of paper a sin, a behavior, or something that needs to be removed from your life that you are able and willing to take responsibility for. I'm putting that there. You're willing and able to take some responsibility for it. And then also, things that the enemy has laid upon you. You say, these things have come into my life and I am not responsible for them. That's fine. Put them down there. Take some time to write and prayerfully think about that before the Lord. And what I want you to do is, when you are done with that paper, or many, I want you to just take that paper and crumble it up, as many as they are. And if you have pockets, stick it in your pocket. If you don't have pockets, and you're ladies often have pocketbooks, stick it in that. I know sometimes the fashion industry is not fair to women. They don't give them pockets. Find somewhere to stick it, okay? And we'll talk about these later. We have to remove that which hinders. The things that hinder us have to be removed in our lives. And there's times when we allow things into our lives that rob us of the joy of worshiping the Lord. We bring them in, we allow them in into our lives. Hebrews 12, verse 1, the second part of that verse is, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Every weight, every burden, every trouble, set it and say, God, today is the day that I'm going to deal with this. Today is the day that in your presence I'm going to say I'm done with this. Today is the day that I'm drawing a line and say, today I will serve the Lord and I will no longer be mastered by this thing. See, anything that comes between you and God, between me and God, is a false god, is an idol. Take it through the dung gate today. Discard it and leave it there. Burnt grandmother's pagan Asherah pole in the trash heap. And it's there where the remnants of idols that were destroyed, that's where they went, and that's where they belong. See, the dung gate symbolizes the process, the work of cleansing that God wants to do in our lives to restore us, to strengthen us, to bring us to the place where we can live holy and strong without shame, without hindrance, without carrying a burden that He never intended us to carry. See, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It's like saying, yeah, in my house, we don't make any trash. It doesn't happen. Never. Right? We know that that could not be true. But in our lives, the Bible tells us we can't say that we have no sin. But it tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is Jesus and the blood of Jesus that cleanses us, that washes us, that purifies us. That is 1 John 1:8 and 9. Cleansia means to be free from pollution. It's the kind of regular spiritual upkeep that heals the believer And John 16 verse 8 tells us that it's the work of the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and to apply the cleansing work of God in us. Titus 3:5 says that He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and the life through the Holy Spirit. God has come to bring us life. You see, Jesus tells us in John 10:10 that the thief has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But He doesn't leave it there. He says, but I have come. And the statement of Jesus is that we will have abundant life, that we will live a life of abundance, that we will live a life that is full, that we will live a life that is exactly what God has intended us to live. We will not live the life burdened and pressed down by the trash that the world continually puts on us and that we pick up as we move throughout doing what we do each day. Jesus washes all the filth away. Now, the Dung Gate was by the Pool of Siloam, and that's where Jesus went to found the man who was blind, and He spat in the ground and made some clay and put the clay on his eyes and then said to him, go to the pool and wash your eyes. And he went and washed his eyes, and he said, well, I can see people like trees. He said, no, go back and wash again. And then he came back and he was able to see fully and completely. That is that pool. It is also a pool where priests would wash themselves. Now, there's cleansing actions that we need to do. And those actions are important for us today, is that we need to repent. Repentance is not a bad word. Repentance is a good word. It's a word of changing your mind, and that means changing your way of thinking. But repentance in the biblical context is not simply a switch of thought. It is a receiving of the Word of God that says, I am not what I used to be. Now I know what the Word says of me. I know that this is what the Word of God is, and it says, and I speak that truth, the truth of God's Word, in and over my life. Repentance in confession. Confession is not... is a purging of the things that we have accumulated. Confession is taking out the trash. Saying, God, I have sinned before You and before for heaven. I have sinned, and Lord, I have broken Your law. I have accumulated things that I shouldn't. I have picked up things that never belonged to me. And so, Lord, now I shed these things in the name of Jesus. I take out the trash so that I will no longer carry this weight. And there's cleansing agents in the scriptures, and these are things that we can preach on separately, but remember, we already know some of these things. Cleansing agents are the Holy Spirit who comes and convicts our heart. Let Him convict your heart today. Let him pick you apart in that sense. Let God do it. Let Him come and light a candle in your house. Let Him light a candle in Jerusalem. Let Him put light into the dark crevices of your life so that you will know what displeases God. Holy Spirit, let the water of the Word produce a cleansing effect in your life. And let the blood of Jesus wash you away. Wash away every sin that has accumulated, has built up in your life. These are the things that God uses to cleanse our lives. John 16, 8 through 11, and says, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. 1 John 1, 7 says, if we are living in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm about to work on my closing statements, and so this is where we come and say, you know, the dung gate is like the altar at the church. It's like this place at the church, where we come and we present ourselves to the Lord. This is where we come and say, God, I come and repent. God, I bring myself. I lay down my burdens. I come, oh God, and I come before you and I say, Lord, today is a day when I determine to live differently. Will you empower me by your Holy Spirit? This is the place of confession. In the same way that we physically remove rubbish from our houses, we must also remove spiritual rubbish. And that's through confession and repentance. And the result is that when we do this, this is what happens. God begins to visit us and begins to restore, and He begins to heal our land. When I confess my sins and move toward God, first of all, as an individual, God begins to work in our nation. When we do it corporately, God begins to work in our nation and He begins to heal our land. He begins to heal our lives. He begins to put things together as they should be. If my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 through 15. We know it well. During the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jewish people, and they still do a form of that today, have 10 days of repentance, and it leads up to the Day of Atonement. And people would come, when in Jerusalem, they would come to the Pool of Siloam, and they would recite what they call the Tashish, and I've looked it up, and it's a long statement of who God is. It's God of mercy, God who heals the sick, God who delivers, God who never changes. You can go look it up yourself. It's a long statement. I don't want to get us into suddenly becoming and trying to take on a Jewish practice, but it has biblical roots in this, that they would go and they would stand at this Pool of Siloam and they would recite the ceremony. Whole families would come and stand there, and they would, and where they, when they cannot go to Jerusalem, they would seek out a place, a body of water. They would seek out a pool or somewhere, an ocean. They would go to this place and they would get there and they would stand and they begin to speak the Tashish and begin to recount their sins and begin to think about all the things that they have gathered and that they have accumulated in their hearts and in their minds, and they would discard them. They would empty themselves. They would purge themselves of these things. And in a sense of getting right down to the very last bit of anything that could possibly cause trouble, they would go into their pockets and they would pull out their pockets. Now, I deliberately didn't clean my pockets because I wanted to find lint. And they would pick the lint and all the bits out of their pockets. And as a representation, they would say, God, everything, every bit that has come into my life, I discard it. I cast it away. I will not let it be part of my life any longer. It is not what you've given me. And they would go and they would, as a symbolic practice, they would do that not just once. They would empty their pockets, turn them inside out 3 times. And they would say that God is helping them to live as they should. What they were saying is their heart's intention was that they would cast away sin and that they would be completely cleansed. One of the worship team can come this morning, and if you would begin to sing and play as I asked, we're going to come to the altar in just a moment with your crumbled papers that you stuck in your pockets, your places of keeping. Now you can come and empty and throw your lint away as well. We'll take it. Whatever your heart intention is to stand clear and unhindered by anything that has come into our lives from any place. If it's trash, it belongs in the trash. And if it's garbage, it goes in the garbage can. If it's something that you say, I'm done with, I'm tired of it, and I'm casting it away today, don't just simply do this as a practice and say, well, yes, the pastor wants me to do it. If I don't do it, he'll think something of me or whatever. This is not about that. It's not about what I think of you. It's a holy moment between you and God, and you're going to pass through the dung gate today, and you're going to carry your idols out through this gate. You're going to carry your burdens out through this gate. You're going to carry the sins that have come and have been laid upon you, those things that have stuck to you that you didn't want to be stuck to you, those things that you have accumulated. And sometimes there are things that we've wanted and we've taken them, and we know that they have become a burden, they become a snare to us. We're going to take those things and write them on that sheet of paper, and you're going to say, today is the day that I separate, today I throw it away, today I discard it, today I've had enough. And in the name of Jesus, I declare that what is garbage belongs in the garbage. What is trash goes to the trash. And I have no responsibility. I do not own it anymore. A legal thing that happens, at least in America, that once you throw something in the trash, it is free game. You no longer own it. Now today, when you throw your stuff in this trash can, it's not going to be free game for anybody's eyes. So don't get all like, oh no, somebody's going to know. No, God is going to know. And you are going to be set free. Let it be according to your faith. Do you believe that God can set you free today? Not because you threw a paper in you, because you believe that God is powerful, that God is able, and the blood of Jesus washes all sin away, that He breaks every chain, that He sets the captives free. He delivers you from sickness. He delivers you from the disease. He delivers you from those troubles that have come for many years and even generations. It is time for the deliverance to happen in the house of the Lord. Let's all stand today. So I want you to come to the altar this morning and empty your pockets with your crumbled papers. I don't know how many you have, it doesn't matter. If you want to empty your lint, go ahead and do it. But as you come to the altar today, step in front of this garbage can. Say, Lord, I am done with this thing. Today is the last day that this holds on my life. Today is the day of deliverance. Today I put the garbage out. Today I own it no longer. Today it belongs outside this city in the garbage pit that burns for all eternity. But today, the great thing about taking out the trash, today I am free. In the name of Jesus, would you come, and if you would, take some time at the altar just to present yourself to the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Set captives free today in Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Set captives free today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, set them free. In the name of Jesus. Yes, you can do all things, Lord. Some in the worship team that haven't had an opportunity to discard their papers. And I want to give everybody a chance to do that. And everybody just to have that moment to say, I've had enough. I'm done with this. He has the opportunity this morning. If you have your paper, you put down your instrument, walk away from the microphone. This is a time when we just surrender these things to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, today is Deliverance Day for the house of the Lord. Amen.